Well, first of all, the attendance was just under 12,000. So, you know, I think some of us thought we might get a little more than that. I think probably the heat turned some people away. But, you know, I think a couple things were unique compared to previous years. I think the announcements on the third jersey, where's Jason and Rob, I know, glad to finally find out about our third jersey. So we wanted to unveil it, so to speak, at the shareholder meeting. So I think people enjoy that. And then the announcement on the impact grants. You know, that's something that it's still relatively new. And, you know, a chance, you know, when we've got a lot of focus and, you know, a number of people here for the shareholder meeting to, you know, announce for those two organizations to bring some additional attention to the great work they're doing here. I think particularly, you know, the grant to the Medical College of Wisconsin, since it's so new and it's, you know, such a important step, I'd say, for this community to have a medical college here. The thought process, I don't know if I got into it, but, you know, the people that go to medical school here, there's a greater likelihood that they will stay in this community afterwards. So having more doctors in this area, better medical care, you know, it really could have a big impact. And that was what we call a staff-directed grant. So the grants both come from the the foundation, but one of them is directed by our staff, approved by the foundation, but directed by the staff. So that was something they were excited about. I thought the other thing I'd say, we continue to be multimedia. You have more video, trying to stay up with, this is what people want, this is what the millennials want. They want video that they can watch 2 to 4 minutes. That's what the studies show. But seriously, I do think... you know, I think it gives you a sense and a feel of what we can do, you know, with our broadcast group. Now we're calling it the digital group. You know, with some of the stories, I thought, I've watched it 2 or 3 times, but I got choked up a little watching the welcome home, the Operation Fan Mail with his pregnant wife coming back. But so it gives you a sense of some of the good things we can do on our website, but then also in terms of game entertainment. So with that, I would just open it up. I thought Ted was very forthcoming. for Ted.
Our Wi-Fi system complete. What do you expect? To get kind of improvement?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is complete, and we're kind of testing it now. I should have pointed it out. Maybe you noticed in the pictures. Those things, if you look around, we tried to hide them. So that you can't see them. So they're in the original ones. This is going back 3 or 4 years ago. The antennas were in, and I don't know all the details, but that was for the DOS system. Those were kind of right above the vomitories in the yellow boxes. And then if you look around the outside of the bowl, or on the inside of the bowl, around those green things that look like speakers, that's the Wi-Fi system. And so we're hopeful. We made a pretty substantial investment in it that you'll see a very significant difference.
Mark, on the jerseys, how would it mean how long you're traveling?
Sure. Yeah.
Is this going to make long and hard for you guys to do?
I hope it happens. I think it could be good for the organization. We're in terms of our fan base. And I know it's on Aaron Rodgers' bucket list. So anytime we can help Aaron achieve his bucket list, that would be good. Now, I think there's going to be more and more games. The league, they've come up with some criteria where they can require teams to play in London. So, there might be more opportunities. I think there was one... yeah, like if you host a Super Bowl, that's one of the things. If you're playing in a temporary stadium, but you know the good example, I mentioned a couple years ago, we played at St. Louis, and the league thought that would be a good opportunity for us to play in London. But St. Louis said, the way the Packer fans traveled, the Rams. Rams looked at it and said, we wouldn't want to give up, what's a guaranteed sellout at home.
Mark, once you announce the out-of-town district plans, will the funding of those projects strictly be Packers, or will you seek other private partnerships to pay for the development?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, at this point, everything has been funded by the Packers. And we'll see as we go forward. We're really focusing. You know, this is something I think, it's going to roll out over a number of years. We're really focused on the first phase of it, and that would all be funded by the Packers. Cabela's is a good example. We owned that land. We entered into a long-term lease, but Cabela's paid for the building. So we're looking at a couple different options going forward.
And you touched on that as proof of concept. Can you expand briefly on the fact that Cabela's is really the cornerstone to what you want that district to look like?
Yeah, it's kind of at the front door, so to speak, of Titletown. I mentioned, I think we've talked about it, I think they've been very successful. I mentioned the 2.8 million visitors. It's one of those things, I think, when, if Cabela's looked at it, we're a smaller market than they would normally be in, but I think the connection to Lambeau Field was something that gave them confidence. And I don't have the exact numbers, but they have roughly 50 stores across the country. And I think our store is number 4 in terms of sales. So, obviously it's been fairly successful. The other thing I would notice, and some of you may have noticed it, I have to give credit, I think, to the state for the work that they've done at the intersection of 41 and Lombardi. I don't know if you've noticed the G's, and they've got the Packer, the Lombardi sweep. And so they're trying to really help us so that once you turn off of 41, you really feel like you're coming into a pretty special area.
From a lead standpoint, you mentioned up there about the L.A. decision.
Yeah.
Possibly 6 months. How do you think that's going to go, and how important is that, do you think, for the league?
Well, the second question, it's crucial for the league. It's very important. It's the second largest market in the country, and we don't have a team there. I think it's been a priority for the league for years. Now, quite honestly, it does help to have a market like LA open, so that there's always an option or chance that teams could move there. But I think. You've got 3 teams that are really looking at it. They all have, quite honestly, frustrating or disappointing stadium situations. I think they're all trying to get, to improve their current situations in their home market. Whether or not that's achievable, we'll see. I think, this is something that the league level, we've talked about L.A. for, many, many years, but there's really a sense that this is much more of a priority. And I think, in fact, we've got a special league meeting coming up in August, focused solely on L.A., an update there. So, it's obviously a high priority for the league.
In regards to the jersey, was the need to use the same helmet a consideration in designing these?
Yeah, that's actually a good point. For a couple of years now, you cannot change your helmet. So you can take decals off, but you can't wear a different helmet. So the helmet, I think, will be similar to the ones that we wore with the Acme Packer jerseys. They would not allow us to wear leather helmets.
kind of on the same line, similar jerseys were worn in the 75th NFL anniversary season.
Yeah, very similar to...
Is that why you chose this? Is because they were popular 20 years ago? And I guess the other question would be, was there any consideration? I don't know how it works, so was there any consideration of wearing like the 60s era jerseys or another era jerseys?
Yeah, we've looked at it. The 60s era is really not that much different than what we wear now. We looked at it. It's roughly a 13-year period. We had 2 championships during that period. Had some great players. I think both Don Hudson and Tony Cannondale played during that time period. So, it's, for me, it's, we have such such a great history and tradition. So for us, I've always kind of viewed that the third jersey, it makes sense to have a throwback rather than, you know, a neon, you know, a brightly colored yellow or something like that. I think, you know, that it really kind of accentuates the unique history and tradition that we have. And, you know, as I mentioned, I think our fans love it, but just as importantly, the players love it. You know, I think they like, you know, it makes those games a little special. I believe under league policies, I think you can play two games a year, but, you know, we have traditionally just played the one game.
Kind of a chicken and the egg thing. Is on-field success bringing about your financial success, or is the financial success enabling your success on the field?
That's a very good question. I think you're right. You know, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, obviously the financial success allows us to, you know, invest in the team, you know, through player contracts, coaches' contracts, player facilities, things of that nature. But, you know, the success on the field, and, you know, I guess if you had to ask which is most important, you know, I would say the winning, you know, the, you know, and I think, you know, as we kind of set our goals every year, you know, first and foremost is, you know, to win championships, win the Super Bowl, and, you know, good things flow from that. You know, we've seen, you know, we saw when we won the Super Bowl in 2010, you know, the pro shop sales took off and visits and, you know, and, you know, that's what I tried to, you know, to give Ted and Mike, you know, the kind of continued sustained success that we're achieving now is, it's not easy in the league. I mean, everything's really designed to just have just the opposite result. You know, you should drop back. But, you know, I think the continuity and obviously we've got talented people in the important positions has made a difference.
Mark, do you need to make an addition to the executive committee or the decision on that lead director? Is that pretty much your call?
Ultimately, it is, Bob, but, you know, it's something that, you know, I want to get feedback from a lot of people, other executive committee members, you know, board members, you know, and the other, you know, some of our, you know, I mentioned Pete Platten and John Underwood and some of the other people that have been, and obviously Bob Harlan has been very helpful to me over the years in terms of, you know, identifying, you know, who would be potentially be good members of the executive committee as well. And then, you know, the lead director is really, it's a key position in this organization. You know, just with the way, as I mentioned, the way we're structured, you know, with the executive committee and really all major, you know, financial and business decisions are made, you know, through the executive committee, and the lead director plays a key role there.
Variable pricing.
Yeah.
Variable pricing. Yes.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we're not doing it this year, and so we're looking at it. We also, you know, wanted to see, you know, what kind of impact or what kind of results teams have had that have gone to it. A number went this year, so I believe it's just over half of the teams have variable pricing. One of the questions, quite honestly, you know, I mentioned before is, you know, the fact that we've got, you know, the green and the gold packages, that makes it a little tricky. But then also the Brown County Lottery is something that's obviously very unique to us. And so one of the issues is how many tiers do you have to have in terms of price tiers? If it's two, I think it would be a little easier for us to figure out a way to make it fair for the green and gold ticket holders. If you have to have three or more, then it becomes a little more challenging. Yeah, you know, I mean, teams have looked at it different ways. You know, and you know the odd thing, and you know this, what looks like a great game or a marquee game, you know, in the summer, when you get to the end of the season, you know, maybe it's not. So, but that's, you know, I think the biggest advantage to the variable pricing is getting the price for the preseason games down, and even though as a season ticket holder you're paying the same amount overall, the feedback that teams have received is they view it as a benefit because it's now easier to sell their preseason games. Because, you know, under the NFL our policy with Ticketmaster, you cannot sell tickets for below face value. So in the preseason, that's
Mark, you made reference to some of the things that have gone on the NFL.
Sure.
And I was wondering, either you or Chuck made any reference to the off-field things that happened here. Do you think fans care about that? Think about whether we need to address that with your fans?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Tom. Indirectly, we talked about it with domestic violence and some of the problems. As we mentioned in our interviews when we released the financial information, it's obviously very disappointing. Ted and I and everybody associated with the Packers is disappointed. I think our fans are. That being said, there's a process going forward with all those players. Some are still continuing. I guess others, there's an appeal in place. I think, Ted, especially, he's kind of at the forefront, and both Mike, have a really good track record. And, I know I've been in meetings with Ted, character is key for him. And so I think, as you look back, step back and look over the long run, I think they've really done an outstanding job in terms of bringing in quality people.
Back to the jerseys real quick. I think back then they had gold pants, not khaki. Why not? You talked about tradition. Why not sticking to them?
Well, I wish Cliff Crystal was here. He could tell you. So we actually looked at it from all 13 years. Believe it or not, the Packers actually, they changed colors. We wore green some of those years, blue a majority of the years. That's why we ended up with the blue. And, there were some changes. But, that was what we felt was the classic uniform that we wore during those years. The one common, I think, was the gold yoke across the shoulders. That I think it's kind of a unique look that I think our fans will like. I think they enjoyed the... Now, if you remember, so 1929, the Packers, the Acme Packers jersey, they had a huge circle, they had a small circle, but the league said, well, listen, the number has to be larger, so we ended up with the larger circle. You try to be as true to the history as possible, but there's some modern things that, I don't think players' names are on the back of jerseys in, the 30s and 40s, but... that's something that people come to expect.
You get such a big reaction from the crowd when you talk about not selling the naming rights and making up money in other areas. Why do you think the fans hold on to that so much, not changing Lambeau Field?
Well, I think everybody associated with the Packers, I think everybody takes great pride in Lambeau Field, what it means now. It's such an iconic stadium. I think talk about bucket lists. Over the last month or so, just walking through the atrium and asking people, where they're from, it's unbelievable how many people are traveling from all over the country and, from outside the United States just to see Lambeau Field. And so I think, knowing that the name will stay Lambeau Field. Now, I should say, I'm tying the hands of future leaders of the Packer when I say it'll never happen. But I don't think it makes any sense. I mean, that is, we have a number of benefits as an organization, but Lambeau Field is right near the top, and it would really be a shame if the name was ever changed.
Ted Thompson,
do you get approached by corporations that want to put their name on Lambeau Field? Does that happen?
Not often. A couple of years ago, I don't know if it was a consultant or somebody approached me from a large corporation that would be interested in the naming rights, and I said, thanks, but no thanks. We have no interest.
So about the league's future, that something that's going on right now, the NFL back is bringing hired its first ever female referee, and the Cardinals hired its first female coach. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think we got a round of applause, for Susan Finkel being the first female on our executive committee. Yeah, you know, it's more than half of our fans. I don't know the exact details, but a lot of our fans are female, and so it's important to a lot of people. And you know, I think the NBA has been pretty progressive. You know, with Becky Hammond, being I think she coached the developmental or the summer league team to a championship. So. You know, that basketball is a little easier because, you know, you have women's basketball and it's played at a high level. But, this will be, I think the officials, obviously you've seen some of that at the collegiate level. But now having an NFL, a female NFL official. And, the Cardinals, that's I wasn't aware of that. So that was, I think it's just a summer position. But, I think you will see more and more of that in the future.
Yeah. I thought his anecdote about Chris and Brian was pretty funny, and I don't know if fans ever get to see much of that.
Ted works on it, and we kind of look through everybody's. I mean, it's really Aaron. We look through everybody's PowerPoint presentation, but just to make sure for accuracy. But I joked a little bit about Ted opening up, but I do think as time goes on, Ted loosens up a little bit. By nature, I think he's shy and reserved, and but I do think it, I think fans enjoyed seeing another a lighter side of Ted.
Ted was saying that he was certainly
purchasing the rest of Marley.
Well, well, we do own some west of Marley. Well, we own the land that Cabela's is on. And then, we've really focused on the land between here or between Ridge and Marley. We also own the River City Realty area. Yeah, that's the other one that we own.
How about the stuff, say, between River City and Marley?
Quite honestly, I think there are some businesses there that are doing fairly well. I don't know. I want to promote them, but Margaritas is doing well. It's a fine Mexican restaurant. There are some others that as we look at it, they're doing fairly well, and we would keep them running. So we're focusing on the others, So it's I know. Rich, if there's anybody more anxious than you for this announcement to be made, it's me. So we're hopeful that very soon we can make an announcement.
You got the crowd riled up. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. You mentioned how fitting it would be if people wanted that reaction.
Well, first of all, it's an easy crowd. but yeah, I do. I think it'd be great. Obviously, it'd be great for the Packers. But in terms of the history of the league and what the AFL meant to the NFL and the merger and the Super Bowl and I think you watch ESPN will really do a great job. All week they'll be promoting the matchup between the Packers and the Chiefs and. Yeah, we're actually, I think Mike Weller mentioned in his report, we're going to have, I think, all of our Hall of Famers, those in the Packers Hall of Fame, as well as every member who's able to travel from those Lombardi teams back for the Seattle game, and then those players will stay here all week. So we're going to have all kinds of events during that week. I think there's going to be one or two events down in Milwaukee, and then culminating with the Monday night game against the Chiefs. So it should be exciting. Yeah, it's one of the real pleasures of my job is having the opportunity to spend time and interact with players from those Lombardi teams and. Obviously Bart Starr, Willie Davis, and Dave Robinson, Jerry Kramer. I mean, all of them. And it's just, the stories they tell. I'll tell you one story. So we had our tailgate tour this year. And so we had Jerry Kramer and Dave Robinson. And, the way the tailgate tour works, we make all these different stops, five big ones in five different communities. And so, you know, so we'll say we have to be on the bus at 6:30 to go to an event that evening. Every single time, it was like clockwork. Dave Robinson, Jerry Kramer were there at 6:15. Every single time. It's just ingrained in them that, and I said, it's unbelievable. They said, Lombardi just ingrained in us that you are there 15 minutes early for every event. But then, you know, the other thing that's great about the tailgate tour is to see the interaction between our alumni and the current players. And usually the first part of the week, you know, one's at the front of the bus, one group's in the front of the bus, the other's in the back. And by the end of the week, you know, they realize they have a lot in common and start sharing stories. But, you know, to be able to see our current players, you know, hear stories and, you know, have discussions with Dave Robinson and Jerry Kramer about Vince Lombardi, what it was like to coach, to play for a coach like that, it's pretty unique.
Hey, Mark, you mentioned being surprised at some of the early retirements this offseason, specifically.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a potential issue for the league that isolated this event? How do you see that going forward?
Well, you know, I hope it's isolated. You know, obviously the Borland retirement, I think, probably got more exposure here because of, you know, having played at, you know, Wisconsin. But it was more, there were a couple others. You know, Jake Locker, you know, was fairly young. You know, there were two or three players that, you know, there's been so much, well, going back, when I was playing, for instance, never did anybody think that, you know, having concussions would lead to problems down the road, cognitive problems. You know, now I think, you know, there's so much publicity, and, you know, so I think players are really concerned about, you know, is this going to affect me down the road? And but I, you know, if you really press me, I'd say it's probably isolated, but, you know, it's certainly something that I think, you know, we need to follow and to track. I think the best thing to alleviate is just to do the things that we're doing is, you know, to make the game as safe as possible. You know, really study closely, you know, the rules, the enforcement, you know, do everything we can to make it safe. And, you know, Bob, you would, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, it's a balancing act because part of what makes the game so exciting is that it's fast and it's physical and, you know, fans love that. But so you don't want to take away what makes the game exciting, but, you know, for the long-term future of the game, you know, we really need to, you know, to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make it as safe as possible. And, you know, it's not – obviously there's a lot more football played, you know, at the youth and high school levels and college levels than the NFL. And so, you know, hopefully some of the changes that we've made at the NFL you're now starting to see at the collegiate level and other places that – you know, for instance, the practices, you know, I think back to, you know, when I played, you know, I mean, the training camp was like a death march, you know, I mean, it was like, but that's what we all did, you know, and, you know, you look back, I mean, look at what we're doing now is really smart, you know, it's, you know, one practice a day, giving players time off, and so it's changed pretty dramatically, and I think you'll continue to see changes, you know, really with that being the focus to try to make the game as safe as possible.
Mark, Ted Thompson certainly told folks out there why he's geeked for the coming season and beyond here. He's very optimistic. What makes you optimistic that 2015 is going to be a good year for the Packers?
Since Ted is optimistic, I'm very optimistic. Because he's a lot closer to it than I am. No, I think you want to be in this position where you have high expectations. I mean, that's the goal, and now we have to deliver on them. And, you know, I think, you know, we've got a talented team, and, you know, we have a chance to play well. We have to go out, and as Ted said, you know, beautiful thing about the NFL is you have to earn it each week on the field. And, you know, so, but I think, you know, what I mentioned, you know, what Ted has done through the draft, obviously we continue to replenish the roster with talented young players, but we also have a solid core of veterans. And so I think it's a really good mix. And, you know, obviously the way the game has evolved, you know, quarterback play is at a premium, and we're very fortunate to have, you know, probably the, or arguably the best quarterback in the league.
obviously there's a lot to look forward to this year about art. We've got an athlete coming up in November, fans, and you'll work out what you mentioned.
Yeah, you know, I think I get a sense that I think, you know, everybody associated with the Packers, but particularly our fans and our shareholders, are really pleased that, you know, kind of a wound has been healed, so to speak. He's back in the family. And, you know, just the interactions that I had with Brett, you know, I think he was really moved by the whole weekend. You know, I think particularly the ceremony and the time that he went out into the bowl. You know, so I think, you know, we mentioned this, you know, for June, we set a record for most tours, and we're on track for July to set a record for July for most tours. So, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert. I don't know exactly why that's happening, but I'd say, you know, the optimism, you know, the success of the team in recent years and, you know, the expectations for this year are high. But I think the Favre event and, you know, the anticipation leading up to it has been part of it as well.
You mentioned the Brown County Lottery. Is that going to stay in place for the season, year to year?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Obviously, that was tied into the sales tax. You know, that's something, you know, we're going to continue to study. And, you know, it's, you know, one of the things we want to make sure there's a demand there. And in recent years, we've had trouble, I believe, getting – it's taken a number of different times to sell out all those tickets. So we want to make sure – and as I understand it, and I wasn't here then, but the intent of it was to allow – to give people that live in Brown County that, you know, supported the Packers through the tax a chance to see Packers home games. What we would be somewhat concerned about is if it – instead, it really turns into something where people sell their tickets to fans from opposing teams and make money. So, but there, I don't know if there's any way we can limit it to that, you know, you have to use it. So it'll make a long story short, Rich. I think it's something we're going to study, we'll look at, but for the foreseeable future, it'll continue. Yeah, the other thing, we've got 115,000 people on the waiting list. So, if you could... You know, that's also a concern because, you know, people – when we opened the South End Zone, we took a number of people off of the waiting list. The average wait time was just about 30 years. So we've got very patient fans, but would be nice if we could, provide more people with season tickets at some point.
Hey, Mark, just so the Hall of Famers and Super Bowl one guys will come – Seahawks game.
Yeah.
You guys will do some stuff during the week, and then what kind of celebration can you get planned based over on details for that Chiefs game?
Yeah, well, so that will be just for the players from Super Bowl One. And, you know, there'll be a, you know, fairly significant halftime event. Well, there'll be events during the week, but yeah, the main celebration will be at halftime, bringing out as many of those players as possible. That's a regular alumni, But so there'll be more alumni for that game than the Chiefs game. Yeah.
You talked about the college game, and I talked to some fans afterward. They said they were really excited for that one. Do you want to tell me a little bit about why you guys decided to do that?
Yeah, sure. This is something we have a great relationship, first of all, with the University of Wisconsin, particularly Barry Alvarez. Yeah, their athletic director. And Barry and I have been in discussions for a number of years now and, you know, kind of going back and forth. And, what really I think kind of drove it was some of the changes in the college football playoff system, the BCS. So now with a four-team system, your strength of schedule is particularly important. And, you know, as Barry mentioned it, you know, that getting – he didn't feel he could get a team the quality of LSU to come into Camp Randall. But with the – and this is a two-game series. The first game was last year in Reliance Stadium in Houston. And then the return game is next year in here at Lambeau Field. So I think it's a win-win. You know, it's his fans are going to be able to. So a lot of them have probably never seen a football game at Lambeau Field. So you know they're going to be able to see a game here. And believe it or not, you know LSU, you know, and their fans have a great reputation. Kind of travel the way Packer fans do. And so LSU, their fans are so excited about this. They've got, I believe they get 20,000 tickets. They wanted 30,000. And so they're going to travel. And, yeah, we've had a number of different meetings. We had recently had a visit from a number of the athletic department staff as well as a number of people that work directly for the football program at Wisconsin to come up and tour the facilities and start planning for it. But, yeah, as I mentioned before, you know, it's going to be a tremendous economic impact. You know, I think you'll feel it'll be felt, throughout a good portion of the state. I mean, because you're going to have people traveling from Madison, and it'll be the Saturday night before Labor Day. You're going to have people traveling from, you know, Louisiana and Madison, you know, probably staying in hotels, you know, all the way down to Milwaukee and other places. So it should be, and the weather will be good then, and should be a great event for fans across the state. And something we'd like to do, if possible, on a fairly regular basis, but, you know, it really needs to, you know, it starts with Wisconsin and their scheduling process. And, you know, I think, you know, having been an AD for a number of years, you know, you're always, you hate to give up home games because you know your fans love it. But I think this is going to be a pretty special experience for Wisconsin fans to be able to travel a relatively short distance and see your team play in Lambeau Field.